ते व्रजव वै विपलव्य देवे अभिवर्षति पशुन कृपया निरुक्षः धर्तोचिलिन्द्रम् इव सप्त दिनानि सप्त वर्षो महेन्द्रम् अनघैककरे सलिलम् गोपैर्मके प्रतिहते व्रज विप्लवय्यवाय देवे विवर्षति पशून् कृपया रिरक्षुः धर्तोचिलिन्द्रम् इव सप्त दिनानि सप्त वर्षो महीन्द्रम् अनघैक करे सलिलम् गोपैर्मके प्रतिहते व्रज विप्लवाय देहे विवर्षति पशून् कृपया निरक्षुः धर्तोचिलिन्द्रम् इव सप्त दिनानि सप्त वर्षो महीन्द्रम् अनघैककरे सलिलम् गोपैर्मके प्रतिहते व्रज विप्लवाय देवे विवर्षति पशून् कृपया रिरक्षुः धर्तोचिलिन्द्रमिव सप्त दिनानि सप्त वर्षो मनीन्द्रमनघैककरे सलिलम् गोपैर्मके प्रतिहते व्रज विप्लवाय देवे विवर्षति पशून् कृपया रिरक्षु धर्तोचिलिन्द्रमिव सप्त दिनानि सप्त वर्षो महीन्द्रमनघैककरे सलिलम् माताजी राय देवे अभिवर्षति पशून् कृपया रिरुक्षः धर्तोचिलिन्द्रमिव सप्त दिनानि सप्त वर्षो महीन्द्रमघैककरे सलिलम् वर्ड् बै वर्ड् मीनिङ्ग् गोपैः by the cowherd men, Makhe, in offering a sacrifice to the king of heaven, Pratihate, being hampered, Vraja Viplavaya, for devastating the whole existence of Vraja Bhumi, the land of Krishna's pastimes. Deve, by the king of heaven, Abhivarshati, having poured down heavy rain, Pashun, the animals, Kripaya, by causeless mercy upon them, Nirakshuhu, desired to protect them, Dharta, held up, Uchindalam, uprooted as an umbrella, Iva, exactly like that. Sapta Dinani, continuously for 7 days, Sapta Varshaha, although he was only 7 years old, Mahindram, the Govardhan Hill, Anagha, without being tired, ekakare, in one hand only, salilam, playfully. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the cowherd men of Vrindavan, under instruction of Krishna, stopped offering sacrifice to the heavenly king Indra, the whole tract of land known as Vraja was threatened with being washed away by the constant heavy rain for 7 days. Lord Krishna, out of his causeless mercy upon the inhabitants of Raja, held up the hill known as Govardhan with one hand only, although he was only 7 years old. He did this to protect the animals from the onslaught of water. Purport. Children play with an umbrella, generally known as frog's umbrella, and Lord Krishna, when he was only 7 years old, could snatch the great hill known as Govardhan Parvata at Vrindavan and hold it for 7 days continuously with one hand, just to protect the animals and the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the wrath of Indra, the heavenly king, who had been denied sacrificial offerings by the inhabitants of Rajabhumi. Factually, there is no need of offering sacrifices to the demigods for their services if one is engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord. Sacrifices recommended in the Vedic literature for satisfaction of the demigods are a part of inducement in the sacrifices to realize the existence of higher authorities. The demigods are engaged by the Lord as controlling deities of material affairs, and according to the Bhagavad Gita, when a demigod is worshipped, the process is accepted as the indirect method for worshipping the Supreme Lord. But when the Supreme Lord is worshipped directly, there is no need of worshipping the demigods or offering them sacrifice as recommended in particular circumstances. Lord Krishna therefore advised the inhabitants of Rajabhumi not to offer any sacrifices to the heavenly king Indra. But Indra, not knowing Lord Krishna in Rajabhumi, was angry at the inhabitants of Rajabhumi and tried to avenge the offense. But competent as the Lord was, he saved the inhabitants and animals of Rajabhumi by personal energy and proved definitely that anyone directly engaged as a devotee of the Supreme Lord need not satisfy any other demigod, however great, even to the level of Brahma or Shiva. Thus, the incident definitely proved without a doubt that the Lord Krishna is the personality of Godhead, and that he was so in all circumstances, as a child on the lap of his mother, as a boy 7 years old, and as an old man of 125 years of age. In either case, he was never on the level of ordinary man. And even in his advanced age, he appeared a young boy, 16 years old. These are the particular features of the transcendental body of the Lord. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स पदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातम् सरणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च. हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते. तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी श्रीराधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सर कृष्णा यू ग्रेट प्रेजर इन वेलकमिंग ऑल ऑफ यू टू दिस स्पेशल मॉर्निंग श्रीमद् भागवतम प्रोग्राम सो यस आई हैव रेड द वर्स एंड पर्पट विच वॉज असाइंड टू मी फॉर टुडे बट सिंस टुमारो इज राम नवमी आई वुड लाइक टू स्पीक अबाउट past times from Ramayana, if you would permit me, if you sanction. So, while speaking about Ramayana, I wish to focus on the pastime of Maharaj Bharat, brother of Lord Ram, especially the pastime in which Bharat Maharaj was misunderstood time and again. A great, great devotee of Lord Ram, a wonderful personality, Bharat Maharaj. He was misunderstood and subjected to mental torture by so many personalities that we will try and see and summarize in today's presentation. Now, Bharat Maharaj and Shatrughna, both of them were away from Ayodhya for a long period of time. They were in Kaikeya Desh, that is father of Kaikeyi. They were staying there and they did not know what was happening in Ayodhya at all, absolutely not knowing. And too many events were occurring in Ayodhya. Far too many things were happening. The first event which was glorified was that Lord Sri Ram was to be coronated. That was the first news that was circulating, and this news made Dasharatha Maharaj very happy. It made ministers very happy. It made the people very, very happy. It made practically the entire, you know, Ayodhya was joyful that at long last Prabhu Ram is going to be coronated. Then there was news also that Kaikeyi and Mantra together had worked out a plan, and Kaikeyi had sought two boons which were given by Dasharath ages earlier, and those two boons which Kaikeyi Mataji asked now at this point in time was that Prabhu Ram should not be coronated, he should be sent to Vanavasa, he should wear, you know, Valkala dress, and he should be sent to Vanavasa, and my son Bharat should be the Ayodhyapati. So these were the two boons which Kaikeyi asked Dasharath Maharaj, who was wanting to celebrate the coronation of Lord Ram. But Raghukula Rita Sada Chali Aye Prana Jaye Par Vachana Na Jaye. The vachana which were given long, long earlier, these vachana, Kaikeyi insisted on their being followed. Now Kaikeyi loved Ram very much, but suddenly due to working of destiny, you can say. So suddenly Kaikeyi became a changed personality, largely by the influence of Mantra. She became a changed person totally. She became stern and unforgiving, so to say. And she insisted that these two boons which were given should be implemented now. That was the day when Lord Ram, you know, was coming to meet Dasharatha Maharaj and Kaikeyi, whom he regarded as his mothers. He loved Kaikeyi as well, as good as he loved Kausalya. So he was trying to come and meet her in her mahal, in her palace. So he was coming, and Dasharatha Maharaj was there. So when Lord Ram entered the palace of Kaikeyi, he saw that Dasharatha Maharaj, the emperor of the earth, was lying on the ground, distraught, miserable, shedding tears, copious tears, mourning. So Lord Ram did not know Why she's crying? He asked Kaikeyi, "Mother, what has happened to my father? Why is he crying?" She said that he is very unhappy that you are being sent to the forest. He is very unhappy because of that. So Ram said that. So Ram did not know, it was like a news to him that, you know, he was going to Vanvas. But he was told that you are going to Vanvas, and therefore Dashrath Maharaj not able to take it in his stride. So he is miserable. He is very unhappy. So, and I am telling you that you have to, you know, wear, you know, the valkal, and you have to go to the forest. So Lord Ram, sukeshu dukheshu, his attitude was the same. Dukheshu anudvigna manaha, sukeshu vigata spruhaha. That was Ram. Never excited when there was some happy event, and never distressed. He is Maryada Purushottam Ram, after all, the Supreme Lord. So he was unaffected by what Kaikeyi said. He told Kaikeyi, "So what, you know, you're asking me to go to forest? I welcome it." No news. In any case, he knew that he had to perform many activities in the forest. So he said that, "Yes, I'll go to the forest." And then he told his father also that, "You don't be distressed. I'll carry out. You have given a promise. You have given two boons to Mother Kaikeyi. Those will be, you know, followed implicitly." This way, Lord Ram, you know, took this event in stride. He went back. So Lakshman, you know, wanted to go with him. It's a long story, you won't go into it. Then Sita Devi insisted that she will be with him. Though she was brought up in a very wonderful way, luxurious way, it is said that she never walked on the ground. She always walked on flower beds. But here, you know, she had to go through the forest where there were many, many thorns and many, many obstacles. She said, "No, I'll clear everything for you. I'll go ahead of you and you walk behind me." So anyway, she went, Lakshman went. So all three of them, you know, were dressed, you know, in ochre clothes. And all of them, you know, set out for the forest. So Bharat and Shatrughna, who were miles and miles away, did not know what was happening. Now, for Dashrath Maharaj, it was a catastrophe. To be separated from his dear Ram was the worst kind of, you know, unhappiness that he could have, you know, borne. So he had to bear it. So he was very, very unhappy. And especially when Ram left for the forest, he was a very unhappy man. He was crying constantly, "Ram, Ram, Ram, where are you? When will you be coming?" He was crying constantly. He was miserable, extraordinarily miserable. So through that misery only, calling out Ram in desperation, he left his body. Lord Ram, Lakshman, Sita, they were in the forest. They did not know what had happened in Ayodhya. Those were not days of smartphone. Call up and find out what is happening where. So absolutely unhappy. This was destined and it happened. So Dashrath Maharaj left his body. And Bharat and Shatrughna, who were miles away, Kekayadesh, took quite few days it took by chariot to reach the place. So Vashishta, the guru of Lord Ram and Dashrath and everybody, he sent a chariot with a messenger. And the message which was to be given to Bharat and Shatrughna at Kekayadesh was very explicit and straightforward. The message was that you just come back to Ayodhya immediately. Shigrati Shigra, you come back. That was the only message. The charioteer was warned not to talk anything about what happenings had taken place in Ayodhya. We had to follow the instructions. So Bharat and Shatrughna, both of them, you know, boarded a chariot which was sent for them, and they returned to Ayodhya. Their mind was full of anxiety. They also saw inauspicious signs on their way. They were wondering what could have happened in Ayodhya that Vasishtha Maharaj sent a chariot to fetch us back. We had just come to our grandfather's, you know, maternal grandfather's house, and we have been called back. So they were speculating, they came back. And as the chariot neared Ayodhya, they saw that the atmosphere of Ayodhya had changed dramatically. Gone was the happy environment that was there in Ayodhya, was a happy place for everybody. But now it looked, you know, like a ghost city. There was unhappiness all around. So they're wondering what has happened to Ayodhya, or dear Ayodhya, what has happened to it? But they did not speculate, they did not have to speculate for long. As the chariot neared the palace of Kaikeyi, Bharat, you know, jumped out of the chariot and he went straight to the palace of Mother Kaikeyi. He knew that Kaikeyi was the favorite queen of Dashrath Maharaj, and Dashrath Maharaj used to spend most of his time, you know, with Kaikeyi. So he thought that if I go to my mother's palace, I'll surely meet my father as well. That was his feeling. So he went there, but when he went there, Kaikeyi, you know, was now in white clothes. It was a shock to him. And then he asked, he said, where is my father? Now, Kaikeyi, who had become a stern person, so to say, after interaction with Mantara, and as destiny willed it, so she said that your father was left his body when your brother Ram and Lakshman and Sita, they left for the forest when they became Vanvasis. Your father, you know, left his body remembering Ram and calling out to Ram, he left his body. And then she told Bharat, Bharat, now you are going to be, you know, Ayodhyapati. You are going to be the king of Ayodhya. So in short, she said that you can rejoice now in your mind. But when Bharat heard that Dashrath Maharaj's father had left his body, and that his dear brother Ram, Lakshman and Sita, three of them had gone, were on in Vanvas. So he was shocked. He couldn't take it. He fainted in sheer agony. He fainted on the ground. After some time, he again recovered. And then he literally, you know, short of cursing his mother, he said that, Mother, you are the most wicked person I could ever think of. Matanutu Vairini. Ashwapati chi navesa kanya navesa maji mai. This is what Gita Ramayana says in Marathi. Gadi Madgulkar says, you are not my mother. You are just a villainous person who has killed my father and who has driven my dearest brother to, you know, Vanvas. So she realized he fainted again and again. And finally, when he came out of the faint, he said that, you know, I have nothing to do with you now. You are not really my mother. Did you not see tears in eyes of Kausalya? Could you not feel any pain or any anguish when my brother left for Vanvas? Could you not feel? He said that you are cruel hearted. I have nothing to do with you. This way, he virtually emotionally broke off from his own mother, because he loved Ram to such an extent. He loved Lord Ram to distraction, though to say. So he felt completely, you know, unhappy. And then he thought, you know, he asked his mother, were you not moved by tears of Kausalya? When Ram, Lakshman, Sita left for the forest, were you not moved by her tears? What kind of a hard-hearted woman you are, stone-hearted woman you are. This way he chastised his mother. But anyway, things had already happened. So after this, Bharat thought that, let me go from here to Mother Kausalya. So he left his mother's chambers and he went to Kausalya. Now Kausalya loved Bharat to distraction. She loved him because, A, you know, Bharat in many ways resembled Lord Ram in looks. So it reminded her of Lord Ram. So she loved Bharat. So when Bharat and Shatrughna went and fell at the feet of Kausalya, Kausalya got up and she embraced both of them. Bharat and Shatrughna held both of them in her embrace, with tears flowing from her eyes, tears of love flowing from her eyes. And then suddenly she pushed both of them away, because she remembered that, you know, Lord Ram had to undergo Vanvas because of Bharat. She remembered that thought came to her. And then she told Bharat, she said to Bharat, Bharat, I don't believe that you did not know your mother's plan. I can't believe it. You surely knew What was happening in Ayodhya? Fact was, he did not know anything. But Kausalya, in her distress, believed that Bharat was aware of all the happenings in Ayodhya, which was not really the case. So she became very, very, so to say, a tough person. So this was this being misunderstood by Kausalya was the second blow which Bharat received. He was miserable, totally miserable. He did not know what to do, how to talk to Kausalya. So what he did, he just went and caught hold of her feet, and he shed tears. He cried and he wet her lotus feet with his tears, and in so much distress and so much pain that his pain and his distress was unbearable even for Kausalya to see. Then Kausalya relented, she embraced Bharat and said that, okay, I understand that you have not played any role in sending Ram and to Vanvas. I understand. You are not responsible for passing away of your father. I understand. So this way she consoled him. In fact, she told him, she relented so much that she told Bharat that, you are like a calf of a cow, innocent. So you are innocent like a calf of a cow. So I no longer misunderstand you. I now understood that you are a genuine lover of Lord Ram at heart. This way. So her distress was, somewhat elevated. She was still unhappy because her husband had left her, his body. Ram, Lakshman, Sita were in forest. She was unhappy, but she somehow or the other came to terms with Bharat and Shatrughna. So that was the second one. Third one was that Lord Bharat, had traveled, Bharat and Shatrughna had traveled a long distance from Kaikeya Desh to Ayodhya. It was a very, very tiring, exhausting journey for Bharat as well as Shatrughna. So Bharat went and slept on his bed and fell asleep, was fast asleep. So when he woke up in the morning, there was, wonderful music going on in his room. And this was set up by none other than Vasishtha Muni. Vasishtha Muni wanted to test Bharat. So he had set up that music, Mangala Vadya, as they say. The king is always woken up with Mangala Vadya. That was the tradition. So as soon as Bharat heard this Mangala Vadya, he became very much annoyed. He screamed. He said, "Stop this Mangala Vadya. I am not the king of Ayodhya. Why are you playing these instruments for my sake? Don't do it. Stop it." He screamed. And Vasishtha, was smiling. He said, "Okay, Bharat is still on good track, He smiled, but his examination was to continue further. I'll talk about it presently. So he said that, "Stop this music." So Bharat and Shatrughna then decided that they will go to the assembly hall, where all the subjects as well as king, they all met, like a kind of a parliament, or you can say assembly hall. So Bharat and Shatrughna, both of them went to that hall. And there was Vasishtha Muni. Vasishtha Muni had arranged all the paraphernalia that is required for coronation of Bharat. So he had arranged everything there. And the house, the place, assembly hall, was full of Ayodhya Vasis. They had all come to see Bharat and Shatrughna, whom they had not seen for a long time. Especially after these events of Lord Ram, Lakshman, Sita going to the forest, and especially death of Dashrath Maharaj. So all people had assembled there. And there were Bharat saw all those people, and Vasishtha, started addressing the hall, you know, addressing the assembly, the gathering, he said that, you know, Ayodhya is still, you know, existing because of, you know, past glory. Ayodhya is, now we don't no longer have Dasharatha Maharaj with us. We no longer have association of Ram, Lakshman, Sita, who have gone to the forest wearing valkal. They have become, you know, kind of sannyasis. They all gone to the forest. So we don't have that association. But we have with us Bharat Maharaj here. So, and he addressed Bharat. Vasishtha Muni addressed and he said, by Lord's mercy, Ayodhya has not lost its glory so far. Yes, Dasharatha Maharaj is no more. Ram, Lakshman, Sita are not here. So, but Ayodhya needs a capable king. So, Bharat, you please become Ayodhyapati, you become king. This is what Vasishtha said. And he said that while leaving his body, Dasharatha Maharaj had expressed it. Desire that you should become Ayodhyapati. So this was conveyed to Bharat. Now, to Bharat, the mention of his becoming Ayodhyapati was simply distasteful. He used to flare up in agony and anger whenever it was mentioned that he should become the king of Ayodhya. So he was very, very unhappy when this was done. So, and then Vasishtha Maharaj continued. He said that Parshuram, you know, Parshuram, he killed his mother on the instruction of his father. So that obedient was, you know, Parshuram. Then he said, Puru, a king, he accepted, you know, old age of his father to serve his father. So we have had incidents of, you know, sons, you know, going all out to please their father. Bharat, my suggestion is that you fulfill your father's desire and take up, become the king of, you know, Ayodhya. So when this was mentioned, Bharat felt that what Vasishtha Muni was saying was externally looking very nice and pleasant, you know, normal. But his heart, you know, was pierced by these words. He said to himself, does Vasishtha Muni also believe that I want to become king of Ayodhya? Is it his thought process also that, you know, I desire to become the king? So he was in great distress. He was thinking that this is not what I want to be. You know, I want to serve Lord Ram. I don't want to be the king of Ayodhya. So, caught between this situation of Vasishtha Muni suggesting that, you know, he should become the king of Ayodhya and his own, you know, mental anguish of losing out on Lord Ram's association, he was literally, you know, caught between the two situations, very, very unhappy. So, what did Bharat do? Bharat, he sat in the middle of the hall there. All the people are sitting. Vasishtha Muni is there, Chaturghna is standing there. He sat there and he meditated on Lord Ram. So when he meditated on Lord Ram, you know, peace, you know, there was some peace in his mind. He became more peaceful and he said, you know, let me now act. And then he, you know, addressed the Ayodhya Vasis. And then the words that he spoke are very, very piercing, meaningful. So he told the Ayodhyavasis that just as it is foolish to dress up a naked body with ornaments, you see the words, it is not appropriate to give, you know, delicious foods to a diseased person. how it is not proper to give a mantra to a person without giving him devotion. He quoted this one after other. He quoted, he said that only a qualified person should become, you know, Ayodhyapati, not a person like me. I'm a wretched person. He was not, but he said that I should never, I am not fit to become Ayodhyapati. He said, if a sinner like me becomes the king of Ayodhya, the earth will be, you know, inundated. The earth, you know, will, you know, sink. This way he expressed his thought. So if a sinner like me becomes the king of Ayodhya, the earth will be submerged. I will take the place of Lord Ram in the forest. I'll substitute, you know, head for head substitution. I'll substitute him. And I and the entire, all of you together, we will go to the forest and, you know, we will crown Ram there in the forest. Make him, you know, Ayodhyapati in the forest. Then I will take his place, complete rest of the whatever, 14 years, whatever is left out, I'll complete that period. And Ram, Lakshman, Sita can come back to Ayodhya. That was his glorious and candid plan. It was not that he was just using words. From the heart of his heart, he desired that. He said, we'll do that. So this was his suggestion. He did it. When Vasishtha Muni heard these very noble thoughts, tears started flowing from his eyes, because he had also misunderstood Bharat. So tears started flowing from his eyes. He realized that Bharat is such a noble soul that he has absolutely no aspiration to become Ayodhyapati. He realized that. Then he said something else. He said that Puru sacrificed his youth to make his father happy. But to give me the throne of Ayodhya, my mother Kaikeyi sacrificed the life of my father. Very, very strong words. So I don't know, Kaikeyi must have been there hearing all this and feeling very unhappy that her son is saying all these things. So if anyone, then he addressed the audience. He said that if anyone in this audience thinks that my mother Kaikeyi has done a dharmic thing by asking me to become the king of Ayodhya, surely Kali has entered Treta Yuga. So this is the statement he made. So this way he spoke. So then he called Sumantra, one of the ministers. He called Sumantra. He said that all of us, we are going to the forest to meet Lord Ram. So please see that the roads to the forest, you know, are made comfortable for us to travel. So these were the instructions that were given by Bharat Maharaj to Sumantra. And then that particular assembly, many other things were said, I won't go into detail. So they all, you know, traveled. So now starts the parade, or you can say parade to Yatra to the forest. So the queen mothers, you know, Kausalya, Kaikeyi and Sumitra, all three of them were in palanquins. Then Bharat, Shatrughna, they were in a chariot. Many others had their own transport. All of the whole assembly started going towards the forest area. So when they were going towards the forest, their ratha was going, and they were traveling very fast. And as they were traveling, suddenly Shatrughna, who was such a sensitive human being, now Vaishnavas are very sensitive. They understand the agony of others, not just their own agony, but agony of others also. So being very sensitive, he thought like this. He said that, yes, we are traveling now in Rath, but Ram, Lakshman, Sita must not have traveled in Rath. They must have walked. What right do we have to travel in Rath in comfort? He thought like that, and he jumped out of the Rath, and so did Shatrughna. They started walking towards their destination. Now, Mother Kausalya was peeping out of her palki. She saw Bharat and Shatrughna, you know, walking. She called out. She leaned out of her palki and called Bharat. Said, "Bharat, come here." So Bharat went. Said, "Mother, what is the problem?" She said, "Bharat, if you walk all the way, then all the Ayodhyavasis will also follow your example and they will also walk. They are already fatigued beyond redemption. Why do you want to make them tired more and more? The idea, you know, is to meet Lord Ram, my son Ram. Idea is to meet him. That is our goal. How we do it, how we travel, whether we travel by, you know, Rath or whether we travel by bullock cart or whether we travel any other way, that is not important. What is important is that we reach the destination in good time and see or meet Lord Ram. That is the purpose. So desist from this, you know, bravado, you know, of walking." So Bharat immediately accepted mother's advice. He went back to the Rath. So did Shatrughna. And then, you know, the caravan proceeded. This way they proceeded, went ahead and ahead. And as they went ahead, slowly and steadily, they reached, you know, the shores of Ganga Nadi. So the Kinara, they say, they reached there. When they reached there, Bharat and Shatrughna came out of the chariot and they offered, you know, their obsequies, as they say, to, you know, because the father had passed away. They gave Argya and other things they did. And they were all of them, you know, were resting there on the shore of Ganga Nadi. And as they were doing this, a pair of eyes was staring at Bharat. To whom did that pair of eyes belong to? It belonged to Guha, Kevat Guha. He was staring at Bharat Maharaj with, you know, unblinking eyes. And he was thinking to himself, he loved Dashrath Maharaj, he loved Lord Ram, and to that extent he also loved Ram's brothers. But here a thought was disturbing him. He said that, why has Bharat come to this place with all his army? What is the need to bring the entire army here? So who knows, you know, what his intention is. Is it, you know, to kill him and get rid of him once and for all? No problems. Could that be the aim? He was thinking like that. And then he looked at Bharat. When he looked at Bharat, he saw that Bharat was so much, you know, resembling Lord Ram, his beauty, his, you know, peaceful, you know, countenance. Seeing that, he thought that maybe, you know, this is not, he must not be like that. But then again he said, why such a big army? That is how human mind works, no? This way, that way. Juggling of, you know, consciousness, one way and that way. So he was thinking like that. Then he thought that I'll personally go and meet and ask him point blank. So he took, you know, some food, he made some food items, honey and other things he took with him as an offering to Bharat Maharaj and went met Bharat Maharaj. When Bharat Maharaj met Guha, he embraced him because he was very dear to Dashrath Maharaj, Ram and others, so embraced him. And then Guha did not dare to ask this question because he said that he's such a sweet person, you know. Why should I upset him, you know, by asking him, you know? But then on the other hand, he said that, you know, for safety of, you know, Ram, I must ask this question. This way, that way, you know, mind, you know, keeps on jumping. So he asked Lord Ram, he asked Bharatji. Bharatji, I just wondering to myself, why have you brought such an army here, you know, to this place? Do you have any plans for Ram? Bharat, you know, started shedding tears. He said, as they say, et tu Brutus, you know, you are also thinking the same way, Guha. So he said, no, my intentions are most honorable. I have no plans, absolutely no plans to harm Lord Ram. In fact, I have come with my army to coronate him in the forest and make him Ayodhyapati. Send him back to Ayodhya as Ayodhyapati and I will take his place. That is the intention I have. That is why I have come here. So Guha, you know, he felt like, you know, eating his own words, you know. He felt miserable that he had such a sweet personality as Bharat. He had dared to, you know, even insinuate that, you know, he might have had some evil intention. So immediately he begged forgiveness and he said that, Bharat Maharaj, you are really great. He said that you inherited the kingdom of, you know, Ayodhya. Virasat ne mila hai aapko. Because he had not to struggle for it. And you want to hand over that kingdom back to Lord Ram? How great you are. So great. Your power, your renunciation, your, you know, love for Lord Ram is something proverbial, something extraordinary. So he praised, he appreciated very much Bharat Maharaj. And then he told them that, you know, I have 500, you know, canoes, you know. So I can transfer you and all your sainya to the other shore of Ganga, where Bharadwaj Muni's ashram is located. So you can do that in the morning. So thus ended the misunderstanding about Bharat on part of Guha. It was cleared there and then. Very often, you know, in our life also we are misunderstood. We have not done anything to deserve it, but we are still misunderstood. People, you know, say that this is like this, this must be the motive. But actually there is nothing. Misunderstanding can only be cleared by understanding. There is no other way to it. Otherwise it can go on for lifetime, go on for generation to generation, you know, people, misunderstandings continue. Families, you know, are at loggerheads for generations. This happens because the misunderstanding is never ever cleared. So here the misunderstanding was cleared. So next, you know, all of them, you know, shifted to the other shore of Ganga near Bharadwaj Ashram. So all of them, you know, were sort of went there. And when they reached, you know, Bharadwaj Ashram on the shore of Ganga, when they reached Bharadwaj Ashram on the shore of Ganga, so they decided that entire army cannot go to meet Bharadwaj Rishi. So they decided that only Bharat, Shatrughna, the queen mothers, and Vasishtha Muni, they will go and meet Bharadwaj Ashram. So as soon as they stepped into Bharadwaj Rishi's ashram, the Bharadwaj Muni looked at Bharat. He welcomed them, of course, and he also had misunderstanding about Bharat. There was an iota of misunderstanding. Now, he also said that you have come with your army. Okay, now it's all right. Now this is, you have come with noble intentions. So Bharat was anguished. He said, Bharadwaj Muni, you are, you know, Trikalajna. You know, present, future and past. You also are ascribing motives to my coming. But then Bharadwaj Muni said, no, I understand that you are a noble soul. I understand that you are a true brother of Lord Ram. But, you know, for sake of my disciples, you know, who may not be able to understand your activity, therefore, just for that clarity I ask. So Bharat Maharaj assured Bharadwaj Muni that I have come here with most noble intentions of making my elder brother, the, Ayodhyapati, taking back to Ayodhya, making him the king of Ayodhyapati, and I will take his place and, you know, continue the Vanvas. So he said that Bharadwaj Muni was satisfied. He said that I will let you know tomorrow morning where to find, you know, Lord Ram, Lakshman, Sita. So I'll tell you this tomorrow morning. Not because he wanted to create suspense, but he wanted to buy some time. So he said that I'll tell you tomorrow morning. So as he said this, he called Bharat aside. He called him aside. And he told Bharat, he said to Bharat, Bharat, you are ill-treating your mother. You are being very indifferent and callous, you know, in your behavior with your mother. Don't do it. She's your mother after all. Whatever has happened because of working of destiny. As they say, likhitam api lalate projitum kasamartaha. Nobody is able to, you know, change destiny. So it has happened. Whatever has happened has happened. But don't, you know, be rough with her. Don't be ill-treat her. Because Bharat would lose no opportunity to, you know, pinpoint her behavior. So this advice he gave. And Kaikai was hearing this. She felt some relief. At long last, there is somebody who can advise Bharat to behave himself, you know, as far as talking is concerned. So this way. So next day, it was, they met Bharadwaj Muni, indicated that Lord Ram, Lakshman, Sita are now in Chitrakoot. Chitrakoot. So you can meet them in Chitrakoot. So they went to, so all of them went to Chitrakoot with the army and everybody, you know, whole gathering went to Chitrakoot. And in Chitrakoot, Lakshmanji had constructed a beautiful, you know, hut for Ram and Sita to devise. That was Lakshman's seva all through 14 years of his stay in Vanvas. He would build, you know, beautiful hutments for Lord Ram and Sita to reside at night. He would, you know, pluck fruit and flowers and pass on to them. And he himself would not eat. And he himself would not sleep either. So 14 years he did not sleep at all. It is described that he had controlled over his sleep. And it is mentioned somewhere that, you know, Urmila took on his sleep. And that is how, you know, she also had a role to play in Ramayana. All these are wonderful characters. They are all gems, diamonds in Ramayana, one after other. There are so many of them. I have taken only one diamond out of them and I am talking about him. So Urmila was such a great personality also. So anyway, so Urmila took on the, you know, the responsibility of sleep. And Lakshman did not sleep through 14 years. And Lakshman would build these, you know, beautiful huts for Ram, Lakshman, for Ram and Sita to stay. So, one more thing I forgot to tell you, that when they met Guha, Bharat met Guha. Guha, he asked Guha, where did my brother sleep at night, you know? Just as they also had to take rest at night. So, where did my brother sleep? So Guha said that he was sleeping on the ground, on the floor, on, you know, grass bed, you know, made of grass, he was sleeping on that. Bharat said that he was sleeping on that. Then he thought to himself, I have no right to sleep on the same level as Lord Ram. So I have to either not sleep or sleep, you know, below, in the below level. So he made a vow there and then that in future, I will never ever sleep on a soft bed. I will also sleep on, you know, bed made of, you know, grass. And then, you know, I will sleep at a lower level than my brother Ram, who is so exalted. So this vow he made. Anyway, to go back to our narration. So they were staying in Chitrakoot, in a Parnakuti, it was beautiful. There was, and Lakshman was keeping always constant guard. He climbed a tree which was just near the Parnakuti. He climbed it and he was seeing, you know, what's happening. He heard some sounds. He heard some sounds. And from a distance he could see the flag of, you know, Dashrath Maharaj on a chariot. Then he flared up. Lakshman could be easily angered. You know, he became angry. He told Lord Ram and Sita were there. He said, told Ram that, you know, it seems that Bharat is not satisfied just sending you to the forest. It was not Bharat actually, it was Kaikeyi who had sent. But he said, Bharat is not happy just sending you to the forest. He has come here to hound you and to, you know, get rid of you. I will see that, you know, he and his entire army, you know, is washed off. So Lord Ram, you know, smiled, gentle person. He smiled, he said that, Lakshman, don't get so agitated. He is not coming here, Bharat is not coming here to, you know, trouble me. He is coming here to meet me. He is coming here to offer me the kingdom of Ayodhya. Why are you so much agitated? And Lakshman, you know, put his head down. He felt sorry that, you know, he is so impulsive. Lakshman was a great character in Ramayana, one of the greatest characters. So, who didn't sleep for 14 years, that is how he was able to vanquish Indrajit. That power he got to vanquish Indrajit only because of his austerity. Anyway, so that is another story. So, this is how Lakshman, you know, reacted. And then when Bharat came, you know, Bharat came running to meet Lord Ram, and there was a wonderful historic meeting between Lord Ram and Bharat and Ram. They embraced each other, and as they embraced each other, Bharat slowly revealed to Lord Ram that Dashrath Maharaj is no more. He did not know that Dashrath Maharaj had passed away. So all the four brothers, that is Ram, Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughna, they went to the river Sarayu there, and they offered in obsequies to, you know, departed soul. They prayed, and all four of the brothers offered that. So I still recall that years ago we went on a yatra to Ayodhya, and His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj had given a class on the bank of Sarayu River, and given a class on the historic meeting between Bharat and Lord Ram. Very beautiful description he had given. So anyway, this, they went there, and after this meeting, there was kind of a spiritual quarrel between Bharat and Lord Ram. What was the spiritual quarrel about? Bharat wanted to hand over Ayodhya to Lord Ram. Lord Ram did not want Ayodhya, he wanted to give it back to Bharat. So there was quarrel about who should be the king of, you know, Ayodhya. Now, come to present times, this Kali Yuga, and that to Mumbapuri, you come. You go to any court, you see the atmosphere there. I had to go to court regarding our housing society problems. I've seen the way, you know, the lawyers, you know, fight, the way, you know, there is such noise and there is such polluted environment in courts. But here were two glorious brothers quarreling over who should be the Ayodhyapati. So, beautiful quarrel. Bharat Maharaj was using his own, you know, set of arguments to convince Lord Ram. And Lord Ram, he is, you cannot persuade Lord Ram to do things which he doesn't want to do. So it went on for quite some time. Then there was what they kind of a arbitration. They thought, you know, they will approach a third party to settle the issue. And the third party was, you know, Janak Maharaj, father of Sita Mataji. Janak Maharaj, as you know, is one of the Mahajans, great personality. So they approached Janak Maharaj. He said, it will go on till infinity, so you please give your, you know, comments. So Janak Maharaj said that, he told Bharat that duty of a servant is to do that activity which will please his master the maximum. If by giving Ayodhya, if by taking back, you know, Ayodhya with you, taking up the responsibility for Ayodhya, Lord Ram is pleased, then you please do that. That is the solution to the problem. And Bharat Maharaj was convinced, yes. So he agreed to accept the, you know, rule of Ayodhya for 14 years until Lord Ram returned to Ayodhya. So, but not just like that. He said that I will not physically sit on the throne of Ayodhya. That throne belongs only to you. No other person can sit on it. Nobody else is fit to adorn that wonderful, you know, simhasan. So I will not sit on the simhasan, but I'll certainly, you know, take care of the kingdom. He said that, you know, I'll go to Nandigram. And while going to Nandigram, I will take your padukas, So he begged of Lord Ram to give his padukas to him. He took the padukas and put it on his own head. And he said that these padukas will occupy the place of the throne. And I will refer all the court decisions to these padukas, respecting them as Lord Ram himself, non-different from Lord Ram. This was the consciousness of Bharat. Wonderful consciousness. We have so much to learn that, you know, from this. He said that, so every day, I'm sorry, I hope I'm keeping time. So every day, you know, he followed that practice. He went to Nandigram, and when he went to Nandigram, he dug a hole, you know, 10 feet low down, and in that, you know, he would sleep at night. Every day there would be aarti to the padukas, and Shatrughna would come and attend. Shatrughna would take care. Shatrughna is also a wonderful devotee. His glories are also unlimited. When we talk about Lord Ram, we forget to talk about Shatrughna. His glories are also unlimited. So he said that Shatrughna is to attend the aarti, but administration, all decisions will be reported to the padukas as if they were Lord Ram himself. So this way, for 14 long years, Bharat, you know, lived a life of total sacrifice, total surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Ram. So this is the way Bharat Maharaj conducted himself. So it is described that the 14 years were long years. There are many events that are described in Ramayana. I'm sure in the coming few days you will hear all the events. So I have not tried to, you know, infringe on those. So in the coming few days you will hear all the glories of Lord Ram, Lakshman, Sita, and so many other devotees. Hanumanji, Sugriv, Vibhishan. They are all great characters. They are all diamonds in Ramayana. Each one a great personality, worth, you know, following in their footsteps. So all of them are great, great, great personalities. So you'll hear about them in the ensuing few days, starting from tomorrow. Tomorrow is Ram Navami, the glorious appearance of Maryada Purushottam Prabhu Ram. So with my obeisances to Prabhu Ramchandra, whose appearance day is tomorrow, and to all of you also, who had the courage to hear whatever I had to say for such a long time. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.